Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I am Ken Edwards, and by the way, I'm talking a little bit slower today because...
You talk too fast.
I certainly talk too fast. And you know who told me that the other day? My mom. She's like, you talk ridiculously fast. And I'm like, well, I got a lot to say.
You
and
do.
We don't have a lot of time.
It's because your mind moves a million miles an hour, Ken.
That's for sure. So anyway, I'm Ken Edwards, National Coalition of Labor. Sitting to my right is Ed Maher, National Coalition of Labor. Good morning.
Good morning.
And sitting to my left is Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council, comms director extraordinaire.
Thank you for that. Good morning.
How are you?
Finally got some good weather here. Yeah.
You had a rally. It wasn't you, but like it was the tradespeople rally in Springfield.
Right.
Transit jobs.
And right.
How was it?
On Wednesday, it was awesome, man. 200 people at the Carpenters Union Hall there in Springfield, Local 270.
Uh-huh.
30 different trades represented. It was great. And then everyone went into the Capitol, do their lobby day there.
That's super cool.
And obviously, this whole issue with the fiscal cliff is impending. So. Yep. I think it fell on a welcome audience. And then one of our sisters also spoke at the Tradeswoman Takeover Springfield.
That's awesome.
Rally. There was like 400 sisters there, too. So it was a big day for labor in Springfield.
For sure.
Yeah, cool. that's great. Good. Yeah. We need stuff like that, right?
Yes, we do.
Labor needs to get involved, right?
Totally.
Continually needs to get involved. People are like, stay out of politics, blah, blah, blah. You can't, unfortunately.
No.
You just can't.
No.
So, we could talk about that forever. But anyway, we got a ton of big news. Big news today is Jim Sweeney, Local 150, my forever boss, as you would say, is coming in with Jeff Horn,
right.
Vice President of Local 150 as well. His first time he's going to be on here. And they have some amazing news to announce. Like, really, really cool. You might have already read about it in the papers.
Or heard about it on the Lisa Dent Show.
Yeah, but it just came out a few days ago. So really, really cool stuff. Breaking news and pushing the envelope. So stay tuned for that. In other breaking news, just the other day, a judge said that Donald Trump fired the National Labor Relations Board member. Her name is Gwen
Wilcox.
She filed suit, said, hey, you can't fire me. There's a 100-plus-year-old Supreme Court precedent says you can't fire me.
And her term went through 2026 or something?
Yeah. 28, I think.
Oh, 28, okay.
Yeah. And so the judge said, the president's interpretation of the scope of his constitutional power, or more aptly, his aspiration, is flat wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, like he really just slapped him and said, sorry, wrong, reinstated. So this woman is reinstated. The board now has a quorum, right? And, you know, I'm sure he's going to appeal it. But, you know, so she trounced him a bit in the decision. And then Trump said, the Constitution vests all executive power in the president. And what that really means is that while all executive power lies with the president, that's true. What he really means is that the executive power is all power.
Yeah.
Right? That's what he thinks.
Right.
Like, I'm the executive.
Not the
case. Can trump Congress,
three branches
states'
of government.
Rights,
yes.
Judicial.
Well,
I can trump it all, and I'm going to do whatever I want to.
Yeah.
They're already talking about impeaching the judge, along with other judges who have made decisions.
So guess what, then? Get to the Supreme Court, which also just knocked him down a bit. Are they going to impeach them, too?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Like, constant chaos.
I like that this ruling potentially neuters the arguments from businesses who are saying, like, oh, no, we can't bring this case because there's no
quorum.
That's
core. Right. That's right.
You know?
Yes.
No longer. Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
That in Whole Foods, it's like, there's a union, but we're not going to recognize it because there's no board.
Right.
They woke up
right.
this week to say, like, oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, the sad trombone.
How much is that going to cost us?
Don't. All right, listen. We got to take a quick break. And then we're going to come back and talk with Mr. Jim Sweeney from Local 150, Jeff Horn from Local 150. We'll be back with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. And as we stated at the top of the hour, special guests today, Jim Sweeney, President, Business Manager of the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you.
Jeff Horn, Vice President of the Operating Engineers, Local 150. Jeff, you're first time on, yeah?
First time. Thanks for having me.
Thanks Welcome. For coming down. Appreciate
morning.
It.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So let's jump here. We could talk about background. I think everybody knows everybody's background here. Jim, president, long time, right? Business manager, long time.
Yep.
Operator for?
Long time.
Long time.
45 years.
45 years. Amazing. Amazing.
Don't look like it.
Yeah. Don't look like it at all.
Hungover.
Hungover.
What's what you get on Sunday mornings? We take what we can get here.
Right.
Yeah.
Ken, you're former and forever boss, right?
Yeah, my former and forever boss, correct. Yes. My last boss.
Yes.
Forever. Except if you ask Don Finn, then he's my boss.
Okay, got it.
Or you're a guy, he's my boss. Or, you know, everybody else on the board is my boss. But for all intents and purposes, yes. And so let's get into it. Some amazing, amazing news has come out of Local 150. And I'm just going to get on with it. It was in Cranes the other day. They broke it. I had been hearing bits and pieces of rumors for quite some time. And Local 150 signed a neutrality agreement with Uber, which is just absolutely amazing. First one in the country?
I think it's the first neutrality agreement. There are some associations that have agreements
with Uber?
Lyft and Uber.
Okay.
But, there's nothing like this.
You don't hear labor and Uber often in the same sense, maybe ever.
All right. Yeah. So let's just back up. Jim, what's a neutrality agreement?
Neutrality agreement is simply this, that the union can talk to the workers and the workers can talk to the union and we can come to a decision whether or not they need us to represent them. And at that point, the company will it would trigger something. More than likely an election,
right?
In instances when you do a neutrality agreement.
So
it's the company taking their hands off.
And they won't interfere.
And letting the workers make the decision themselves on which union or if they at all want a union to represent them.
All right. You know, a neutrality agreement is usually a precursor to A, a win for the union and B, a collective bargaining agreement. Because the company comes in and says, hey, if you want you union, right, in this case Local 150, if you want a neutrality agreement, it's yours, we're going to sign it, and we're simply going to stay neutral. It's exactly what it says, neutrality, meaning we're not going to say go union, and we're not going to say don't go union. We're not going to bring in union busters like Amazon and Chipotle and every other company in the world, right? We're not going to put on an anti-union campaign, right?
That's the idea.
Okay, and with that, it evens the playing field on of a generally uneven playing field. Because, look, the union's sitting on the outside, right, trying to talk to people as they will, when they can, you know, at bars, at nights, on the weekends, going to home visits if that's what they do. And now with Uber, right, this is a whole nother ballgame. But the company has them 24/7.
Correct.
Like they're in their ear. Like in the Amazon.
You know, up until very recently, you could have captive audience meetings.
That's right.
As well.
And you know that's coming back, by the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no way that's not getting overturned. But at least here in Illinois, we have a state statute that prevents it for the moment. But yeah, of course, it's going to come back. So, Local 150, heavy operator equipment. What made you decide that that was something that you were interested in, Uber drivers?
Well, first of all, we you know, our approach, as you know well, has always been. First and foremost, do we think we can get a contract for the workers that we're involved with? And we try to stay in related industries where we can leverage one part of an industry with another to get a contract. And we believe we have that same ability here. Now, this is going to be a lot more complicated in that, you know, there's a belief that these workers are independent contractors and not...
not employees.
Employees.
Right. One of the biggest fights in the NLRB
last few years. McDonald's and franchise.
But this is 10 times worse, right? It's the gig economy, right?
Yeah.
And even though Uber controls the app and Uber tells me when I can drive and Uber sets my pay rates and Uber tells me all of my working conditions, I'm still not an employee.
And one of the things I think that's really important here is some drunk 20-year-old can give you one star as a driver, and Uber will stop sending you rides. There's no due process for these drivers.
That is part of what we believe we can do to help them.
Yeah.
Immediately, this is going to be a tough lift in getting these workers covered traditionally under an agreement.
Right.
We're going to make our best attempt.
Right.
But in the interim, we have to come up with something.
Sure.
Something that works, that gives them some protections against things like Ed just said.
Yeah.
Where you have... you know, some accusation by some 20-year-old drunk kid who thinks it's funny.
Right.
And now you're banned from driving for Uber or for Lyft, which happens every day, sure. continually right now.
Supporting your family.
Putting together some sort of...
Yeah, some drunk kid, you know, like you said, got a beef with you or whatever.
Right. And you have no...
Recourse.
Recourse at all.
Yeah.
We want to help build that recourse, build an arbitration or a board you would go to or something along those lines. This is wide open. And we believe we can do that for the workers.
Something to give you some due process.
We got to do something now, right? We all know that the administration has changed and things are going to change when it comes to labor law in this country.
That's for sure.
Again.
Yep.
But you can't sit and wring your hands. And for 14 years now, almost, that's kind of what labor has done with Uber.
Yeah, so, okay.
They've done
so,
nothing.
Okay,
do they need to be recognized as employees in order to represent them, or can you represent them as if they're still recognized as independent contractors?
So this is the question, right? Yeah. So Uber and 150, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, basically came to an agreement and says, we're going to form an association of Uber drivers. We're not going to call it a union at the moment, right?
Our position is we want to rep them as a traditional union,
uh-huh.
but fully understanding that that's going to be heavy,
right.
again, three times.
Yep.
We want to have some fallback, something that we can do for those workers now, because you just can't leave them hanging like this.
I think that's right.
Right.
So in answer to your question, the answer is yeah, of course. This is still going to be, for a long time, it's going to be a question of are they employees or not employees. But I think what Jim is saying, and I'm going to put words in your mouth, is it doesn't matter at this point. Something has to be done for these workers, right? And labor... It's incumbent upon labor, us, the unions, because we're the only ones that are going to do it, to not sit on our hands and go, yeah, I don't know. Good luck, guys, and I'm going to give you an extra tip and, blah, 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 blah. Because as we've talked about, it's no different than, Ed, you're saying, or it wasn't yours, but people put their hands in their pocket, right? That's the strongest message in the world.
Yeah, Bill Haywood.
That's right. If Uber drivers shut their app off at the same time, it will cripple an economy. Why? Because bars, restaurants, businesses that now rely on Uber to drive them.
Seems very radical. You think that wouldn't be anything Local 150 with collective action. Yeah.
But, I think they have an amazing amount of strength, right? And so every time, of course, I get an Uber, I immediately go, you guys would be the strongest union in the world if you just,
I'm a firm believer.
On a Saturday night?
Yeah.
Or Sunday morning.
Okay. They're the most.
No, trust me. I leave when it's light out, and I'm home before it's light out. I'm that old now. So.
I'm a firm believer that Uber drivers are some of the most interesting people in the world to talk to, and I always talk to them. And the question that I always ask is, how much of your fare do you get to keep?
You know that they used to tell them, and now they stop telling them. Yes. So I, of course, go, would you like to know? And they're like, yeah, of course I would. So, I inflate it by like 45%. I'm like, Uber's getting $600 and you're getting six.
Well, that's something that, right, when you get this contract, you could put that in there. Right?
I think that's
right. There's workman's compensation. There's unemployment.
Yep, sure.
There's a whole
car insurance
that we can do. But really, the biggest issue seems to be from the guys that we've talked and gals that we've talked to, is being knocked off the platform.
Yeah.
Every time somebody makes an accusation that it could be wildly made up, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Or even
they take the safe route and they knock them off, and then there's no due process for that.
And the safety in the workplace for the Uber drivers.
So, I have a question for both of you guys. There is, and there has been, an ordinance that's being bantied about in the city of Chicago. Right, and I don't even know what the ordinance is called. It died for a while. All of a sudden, it's been sort of re-upped. And I've watched other municipalities deal with these kind of ordinances. I think
over gas pipe.
No, sorry, not that one.
That one got fixed.
Yeah. No. This is over Uber's treatment of their workers
benefits,
and what the city
setting
can
a minimum wage,
do,
type of thing.
Et cetera, et cetera. And I think Minneapolis did it, and I think L.A. and some other progressive cities. But it died here in Chicago. For some time. And all of a sudden, it's back, mm-hmm. right? And you have other unions, at least according to Cranes, that are pro this ordinance. In my opinion, I don't think we need an ordinance. I think we need
a contract.
I think we need what Local 150 is doing.
That's what unions.
Yeah, right.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We don't need to legislate ourselves out of business.
Okay. Right. There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
And that's what we do.
And did you everybody hear that? Because I didn't make that up. Jim, you just, you know, you kind of ruined it for me because the past 3 years I've been saying that, but I took credit for it. So it turns out I actually got that from
Maybe Jim
from
heard it from you.
Oh, there you go.
Probably not.
It could
be. Sorry, Jim. I'm sorry.
I doubt that.
Right. But yeah, right. Then you'd have to
a lot of things I heard.
There could potentially be, you know, city mandated benefits for any type of employee, right? Like, that's what it's sort of opening the door to. Like, why would you, why would the city get involved in
You know what the city should do? They should worry about their cops and their firefighters.
Right.
Maybe give them a contract first. You know what I mean? Don't worry about this. Like, let us.
Firefighters don't have a contract?
No.
How long is that now?
3 years.
It'll be. Hopefully we're our heroes.
It'll be in 4 years in June.
Yeah.
Four years. Four years in June.
Don't worry, Jim. Our parade will take care of them.
That's true. Well, we'll talk about that in a second.
Maybe we will.
So there's this ordinance that's happening right now, or at least it's about to.
Alderman Rodriguez.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. And where's he from? Do you know what ward?
He's Little Village.
Little Village. Yeah. Okay.
It's on the north side.
Yeah.
Anything north of Madison, I don't really care about.
Barely, but true.
Ouch.
Southside. Never Southside. Been there.
You know, I understand that you have plenty of members that live on the north side, right?
It's all
right.
He's been on the north side of Madison because we ate a couple times at the Palace, yeah. But that's about as far north of Madison. You know, it's about 60 yards.
I remember Jim picketed like Wrigley just for the sake of doing
no,
it.
No, I didn't. Oh. I had other people do it.
I wouldn't go there.
I was there. My eyes have never seen that.
That's ridiculous. Okay. So, but listen, all right, back to the ordinance. How do you get this deal with Uber? How does that happen?
I'm not going to give away our secret sauce.
Okay, fair enough.
But I mean,
quite frankly,
we have the ability to
reach out
for them to listen to us.
Got it.
Knowing that we're probably a better, and I'm not saying we're this, but a better friend than an enemy.
Yeah. Better to have us as a friend than an enemy.
Just correct. Like the Marine Corps.
Correct.
No. Yeah, I got it.
And we may very well end up crossways with one another, but you know, we made the argument of why they should be interested in us rather than anybody else having that neutrality agreement.
Are other unions giving you a hard time? Are they angry with you? Like, is anything else?
It only came out Thursday.
So. Okay.
So the night is young.
I don't know why. I mean, this has been going on for 14, 15 years. Nobody has done anything to this level. We've worked on it for quite a while.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, a lot of reasons why they decided to work with us rather than fight us.
How many people are you talking about, Jim?
65,000.
Holy cow.
Is that many drivers?
65,000.
65,000.
Is that Chicago?
Illinois? Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Chicago region? That's not even...
Well, see, you could say the whole state,
yeah.
But really it's focused on...
Most of
for
them.
For the most of it
right.
Is on the nine counties, or is in the nine counties in northwest, or northern in Illinois.
Okay.
And it's really... gets concentrated even more when you get into the urban area. So
yeah,
so
not,
now
not
so
a lot of Uber drivers in Cairo. Probably.
So yeah. Now this, but now this has happened, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure, by the way, the drivers don't know about it, and the drivers are not reading cranes, right? So it's incumbent now, of course, upon us labor to get the word out. Correct.
Yep.
So we're going to now, I'm assuming, start the process of talking to drivers and getting this association up and off the ground. Correct.
Yes, and we have everything you see. Was done with feedback from people that we have been working with that work for Uber.
Love it. That's really good. So listen, we got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. And this is really, really fascinating. I'm sure we'll be covering this for some time. But we'll be right back, and then will you guys stick around because we want to talk about a couple other quick things, including the Archer Avenue Parade that's coming up on next, what is it, a week from?
Saturday.
A week from yesterday, right?
Yes.
Yep, week from yesterday. All right, we'll be right back. More of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, and Jeff Horn. Thanks. Jim Sweeney, my forever boss. And so, look, Uber stuff, super interesting. I think that we're going to be hearing a ton of stuff about this over the next couple of months, right? And maybe years. Who knows how long this is going to take. But you're going to put on an organized drive, right?
It's not going to stay here just in Chicago.
You would hope not, right?
The idea is this to spread.
Yeah.
And by the concept that we're going to use can be plugged and played anywhere in the country.
Jim,
so there's no reason for these workers to go any longer without,
I think that's right.
without some sort of collective bargaining.
Yeah, some modicum of job security or fairness or due process, or not, like you said, Ed, getting tossed off the app because I angered somebody that I was planning on feeding my family for the week. I'm using my own car. You know, there's a plethora of reasons. And, oh, by the way, here's another thing I've been reading about, which is Waymo. Have you heard about Waymo? It's the driverless Uber. And it's owned by
Elon, right? Or no?
No. It's like Facebook or I forget which one. One is on that one. Elon's trying another one. They're rolling it out in Austin, Texas at the moment.
I've seen
videos. They're trying it here. They're trying it there. So if you're an Uber driver right now, you know, you've waited 14 years to have somebody have stand up and have a voice. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a second. I'm getting replaced by a robot, right? That, I think that'd be, you know, item number one or two.
It's watching these Teslas crashing on their own when they're self-driving, I'm not getting one of those.
The boss has
been a little distracted, Jeff.
That's right.
You could not pay me
money
to get into a driverless car.
No, right? People are going to treat that thing like a cheap hotel room, I think. I mean, like, those cars are not going to stay usable for more than like a year.
Ooh, I hadn't even thought about
that.
At least at that level is going to be our initial goal. We're going to get something quickly so that these workers have, you know, ability to have some say in their
I think it's fantastic. I think that the unions here in Chicagoland, you know, I'll say it right now.
We're going to make it local one.
I'll say it again. Local one Uber drivers. Why wouldn't it be, right?
But
here, if you're labor listening, let's make sure that we do this together as labor instead of, you know, going like, hey, I want the ordinance so I can go organize it. I want these guys. They rightfully belong to me. Doesn't matter, right? It's going to be an Uber association. At some point, it will be its own standalone thing. Right now, it just so happens that 150 got the neutrality agreement. And, you know, God bless them. Everybody should go, yeah, yes, let's move the ball forward for these folks. That said, let's talk about the upcoming parade. And there's an actual name for it. It's the Working Families Parade?
Chicago Working Families Parade.
And tell us a little bit about it.
It's been around 15 years.
Is it that long?
10 years.
10 years?
It just seems like 15.
Everything for you seems longer now.
10 years. Yeah.
Well. Yeah. So it's been around for a decade. And it's on Archer Avenue.
Right.
All right. So when is it?
Archer and Narragansett is where it ends. It starts now. Where are we going to be?
Oak Park and Archer.
So we keep moving west down Archer because we have to keep adding slots for additional marchers.
Good problem to have.
Growth.
Yeah. So how many people show up to this thing, Jim?
It's lined from Oak Park to Narragansett, both sides.
Yeah.
20 deep.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
If we get good weather this year, it's going to be like Philadelphia after the Super Bowl.
Except like...
Without the rioting.
Without the violence.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We'll have to grease the poles.
Horrible Eagles fans.
You know, the main reason for this parade is to help raise money for the replacement vests and the new vest that patrol officers wear in Chicago.
Okay.
Because they're burdened with paying for their own vests.
Which is outrageous.
I think a lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
They do have an expiration date, too. You know, so you
they're
so
only
long.
Good for about 4 years, I think.
I didn't know that.
4 years, and then you have to replace them again.
I did not know that.
And too many police do not do that because of the cost. You know, you're 10 years in, you got a kid in college or kids in private high schools, and you look at, am I going to replace my vest for $500 or make this tuition payment? Right, so
I know that you've given money in the past, or the parade has given money in the past for, you know, members, family members of fallen police officers.
So we do both.
Okay.
We do
so
both.
So what is
last,
the... What
last
is the,
year, I think we raised $120,000.
Yeah, we cut a check for $125,000.
Right.
To the
Foundation? Chicago Police Memorial Foundation.
I got. And so what is EMQ, Retirees, Widows, and Children's Assistance Fund? What is that?
That's the Chicago Fire Department's charity they would like us to donate to. You know, it's backed by Local 2 firefighters. We took their advice of what they thought the best foundation would be to get the most bang for your buck to help the families, right?
So it's going to go both now?
Yep.
Police and fire?
Yep.
That's
first
fantastic.
Year.
This is the first year?
First year. Yeah.
That's really cool. And Local 2 of all unions needs it because they've been literally 4 years. It'll be
without
in June without a contract. So who pays? Like, so explain to me. Like, how do you get the money? Like, does the unions like
sponsorships?
Say, okay,
primarily, and then the fees to march in the parade.
Got it.
All right. Help pay for the cost.
All right, and if somebody wanted to donate, where can they go? Like, is there a website that they can go to and donate money or get more information about it?
Yeah, they have more information at Archer Ave St. Patrick's Parade local150.org.
They had to put in 150, didn't they?
They had to put in 150. There's also they've got a Facebook page, the Archer Avenue St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Got it.
So anybody, and you're live streaming the parade this year for the first time. So anybody who wants to watch it, we'll be putting out a link on our Facebook page for the show.
We encourage them to come out in person.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And guess who's going to be there, Ed? You, me, and Phil.
That's right.
That's what I hear.
On a roof. I hear
you guys might be announcing the
I so I have heard. And Phil, surprise. Guess what you're doing Saturday? You're coming to the parade.
We're working.
All right.
It's not work when you love what you do.
That's good. And we're going to be like up on a roof or something? Or like, what's
you're going to be up on a
directly
roof.
Just like the Beatles.
From what we used to call Al's Bar.
Okay.
So anybody in the neighborhood.
I have to go to a parade and drink beer. Fine.
And you know what we'll do, Phil? We'll share an Uber down there.
There we go. And we'll talk.
So, all right. That's going to be really
fun. But it started, you know, 10 years ago with a couple of floats.
Right.
You know, we were like most of the labor movement. We were marching downtown.
Yeah.
It got to the point where at the end of the parade, we were losing kids because it's such a big crowd. It was just too much. And this was a third time I think we had lost kids.
Mm-hmm. I think my dad lost me down there at one point. Yeah.
And it wasn't worth that risk of something happened to one of our members' children.
Right.
So we went a year and we didn't march, and then it came, we got to do something.
Yeah.
And we decided to march a block in the neighborhood,
right,
Garfield Ridge, and you know, we had
and when you say one little float. When you say in the neighborhood, you mean your neighborhood?
Yes.
My neighborhood. Hey, it's good to be the king, you know
close
what I'm saying?
By.
Yeah.
So we went from Kennedy High School to St. Daniel the Prophet Grammar School, and it was the parade start. And it was three floats.
Couple of golf carts.
Couple pickup
Boy
trucks.
Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts,
yeah,
and Clear Ridge Baseball.
Super cool. It has marched every year since, and you claim to be?
We are the longest continual running parade in the country.
Hear, hear.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Now, there was a point where during COVID,
yep,
nobody could march. You couldn't have parades.
Right.
We didn't follow the rules.
Yeah.
You had a parade anyway.
We had a parade.
Were there any hand slaps for that?
No, we didn't.
Good.
So, continuous parade. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
And I know that's to the chagrin of some, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, we have, I don't know how many unions now.
We're up to about 10.
10 unions?
Yep.
10 of the, mostly building trades?
Yep, big unions.
Building trades, yeah.
Uh-huh. And now police and fire?
Yep.
Police and fire.
That's super
cool.
Well,
it's a neighborhood full of city workers, police and fire, construction workers.
Right, it's in their backyard.
Yeah. It is a working class neighborhood.
Yeah, and remains to this day, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's nice. Great
neighborhood.
Hasn't been gentrified. What do you think?
It is blue collar as you can get left in the city of Chicago.
That's good. And so for those of you listening that are outside the city of Chicago.
Maybe Mount Greenwood.
But people don't realize that in order to work for the city, you're a cop, you're a firefighter, you're a streets and sand guy, whoever.
You're mandated to live within the city.
That's right. You have to live in the city. And by the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
You know, you pay taxes where you live, where you work, et cetera. But, you know, people are saying, oh, these rich cops, these rich firefighters, they're living out in the suburbs in these mansions. That's not true.
No.
It's not true at all.
Other cities, you can live wherever you want if you're a cop, or other towns, I should say.
But yeah.
Chicago, no.
Right. No, and as well they should. So, so this is an altruistic.
One of them is my son, by the way.
That's
Chicago
right.
Cop.
That's right. And how long has he been on the force now?
8 years, I think.
Wow, that's fast. Holy cow. Yeah. He's got kids?
He's got a little girl.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, grandpa. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Jim is a doting grandfather.
Twice already now, right?
We had within a month, two girls.
Two girls within a month.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Awesome.
They're both little darlings.
Hey, when they're at work, he's smiling, so.
Is that right?
That's right.
I love it.
You know, it's really turned out to be, just for viewing, a cool parade. You'll see some of the largest cranes.
Super cool.
that are in this market. So if you're one of those guys that are out there, and a lot of, you know, there's guys out there that spend their day looking and taking pictures of airplanes taking off. There's people that do it with locomotives and trains. There's the same group out there that, that does it with cranes.
That's awesome.
This is like their Christmas.
That's really fun.
All the big crane companies in Chicago find it in their interest to be in our parade.
So what time does it start?
12.
12 o'clock.
And how long will it go?
It usually takes about 45 minutes to an hour to walk down Oak Park to Narragansett.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not a terribly...
ton of kids. I mean, you're just... It's loaded with children.
Candy.
And the best announcers in Chicago.
We'll find out.
First time parade announcers.
And where's the after party?
I will
party.
Say what we...
The after party is back across... If anybody ever heard of Weber's Bakery, directly across the street. So that is... what is that?
Croatian Radio Club.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, super cool.
Yep.
Okay.
We had it there for the first time last year. Worked out great. We got some more room.
Yeah.
We're putting up a bigger tent this year.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. But, you know, I did want to touch on the part with the new website we launched. This will be the first year we actually went where you could pay online now versus having to send checks in.
For sponsors, right?
For sponsorship. So even if you're not going to attend the parade and you're hearing this and you feel the need to want to donate and help these families, Chicago Fire and Police, you could still send it in now.
What's the website?
The website is stpatricksparade.local150.org.
Very good.
That's good. Trying to make it more accessible to everybody out there.
So. That's cool. That's awesome. Yep. Good for you guys. Listen, we got to go. We appreciate you guys sticking around for a couple of segments here. This is interesting stuff. The Uber stuff, I think, is just absolutely fascinating. You know, I'm proud to be an operator, to be blunt with you. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I've always talked about. It's like, you know, if there's any union that's going to take the ball and move it forward, it's generally going to be 150. Not that everybody else doesn't do it. Here, we got a great labor program going on in Chicagoland and quite frankly, across the Midwest and expanding throughout the country as you and I travel around. We're seeing people, like, push the envelope, right? Join the coalition. You know, make them make us stop. Like, doing cool stuff.
Well, you know, my fear is that because of the administration change and because of what may be some harsh tactics they may use against the movement,
right?
That's when you get up and you fight harder.
Good.
You know,
yeah.
This whole, you know, the people are running for cover. I'm going, no. I mean, listen, I started as an organizer on Ronald Reagan.
Right.
You know, I sure as hell am not going to end it under Trump.
Amen.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now's not the time for us.
We're going to go hiding.
Yeah, absolutely. Look,
quivering
in the corner. Jim, I'll say this, you know.
So we kick it off with what could very well be one of the biggest organizing drives in the country.
Millions of members.
Yeah. Maybe in history.
Right? Yeah. Right? Million. Like, literally millions and millions of members. Right? And look what the Teamsters are trying to do in Amazon. Good for them. Right? Keep going. Like, let's just keep pushing forward.
Polling showed in the past, 3 years, 5 years?
77%.
Yep, exactly.
You're 100% right. That's
right. Has been. Yeah. So we got to take that ball and move it forward.
I think that's right. And I think it doesn't matter who the administration is. You know, I said, like, listen, I don't need your permission to join a union. I don't need your permission to call me union. We're going to be union. And I'll tell you once again, like you've always taught me, you don't like it. You know, you think that it's better rolling back all the labor laws? Guess what? Self-help, chaos, right? Before we had a law, it was violence, Pinkertons, chaos, Haymarket, right? All those kind of things.
We've always been an advocate for, you want to take the gloves off, get rid of the NLRB, let's have at it.
Because absolutely.
We've done our best organizing using board avoidance.
Board avoidance, right? That's exactly what I said. You don't want a labor board? Goodbye.
Yep. You know, back to the union part, too. You always hear, we don't need unions anymore. There's no more kids working in factories.
Well, not true. Go to Iowa.
There are now.
Yeah, well, that's why I love hearing that.
Everything's rolling backwards, right? Yep. Now's the time that you need unions.
100%.
So we shouldn't be afraid. And you know, I'm going to say this to the AFL, not the Illinois AFL, not the state feds that do a great, great job, but the national AFL, what are you doing with our money? Right? What are you doing? You're starting the...
Where are they? I mean, we have oligarchs,
Jim,
taking over our country.
They started the National Department of Working People.
I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. I thought it was a joke.
The Department of Working People, which the acronym for that is DOPE. D-O-W-P.
Department of... Jim, I swear to God, I read it. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. Like, it's from The Onion or whatever. Yeah. And no, it was true. AFL starting the Department of Working People. And we're going to get stories from workers. I'm like, that's what you're doing? That's it? And literally,
the house is on fire.
That's it. And they're like, yeah, that's what they're doing. So, labor. Yeah.
Can you see it? Yeah. Can we get some drums?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
5 gallon buckets and just start pounding them?
Whatever. We're going to have like Kumbaya. We're going to sing the solidarity songs. And that's it.
You don't think workers are not fearful in this country right now?
Of course, there's an
opportunity to get them to organize.
Yes.
Right now.
Absolutely. Now's the time. And people want to organize, right?
Yeah.
People want to get together. And you can take the politics out. You can take the guns
out.
Look what our own
government is doing to our workers, our federal workers.
Mm-hmm. They're about to lay off 80,000 veterans. 80,000
veterans. My brother is one of them.
Is that right?
Yeah. He works at Heinz.
Yeah, you imagine, like, it's like, hey, let's clean up the government, and you know we'll start with? Let's just fire a bunch of people.
Yeah,
let's get rid of people at the VA.
Let's, people who served our country.
Yeah, the people that served our country. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. This lady came out and said, you know, maybe they don't deserve a job right now. Like, what are you doing? Is there government waste?
Of course there is.
Right? But maybe we shouldn't pay $800 for a hammer. Yeah. Let's not fire, you know, the
guy who holds the hammer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here at 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. That was really cool.
Fantastic.
I could talk about this stuff forever. I could talk to Jim Sweeney forever. He, of course, decided to come in hungover, and appreciate that, Jim.
We're just happy he made it.
I look at the glass half full. He was here. And
he says we're doing great things on this show. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm. Like, look, pushing the envelope and organizing Uber drivers. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's like
they say it couldn't be done, but yet here we are.
Well, we'll see. So we'll be reporting on that. We got a ton of stuff to report on, but I'm going to tick off a couple of quick things, and then we're going to leave this for future shows. But Faster Labor Contracts Act. There's a bill pending right now. It was pushed by a bipartisan group of legislators. Josh Hawley from Missouri, who we've talked about a couple of times on the show, has changed his tune on right to work.
Former hater of labor.
Former hater. Now,
complete 180.
Yeah, right. Cory Booker. I think he's from New Jersey, right?
That's the one.
They're pushing this bill, and I'm going to just leave it at that because we're going to drill down on this bill. This bill is game changing.
It is.
It's game changing. Okay, so there's positive, right? You want to hear the negative? The Trump administration decided to rip up the TSA contract.
Right.
How many workers are there?
50,000.
50,000.
Yeah.
Hey, 50,000 workers. You no longer have a contract.
Ugh.
So what does that mean? Does that mean you still have to show up to work? Does it mean you get paid less? Like, how do you rip up a contract in the middle of it? You know how you do it? You just do it.
Right.
And then it goes to court.
Yeah.
And then court tells you can't do it. And then you appeal it. And then this is just absolute nonsense.
It's madness.
And by the way, why pick on TSA? Who else are you picking on? Oh, I'm sorry, veterans.
Right.
The Veterans Affairs, right, the VA, they're going to fire 80,000 workers. 80,000 workers. You know how many of those workers are veterans?
Most of them.
Most of them.
Yeah.
You're going to fire veterans. And this lady came out, I don't know her name.
And the people they're taking care of, all of them.
100% of them are veterans.
And they have phones, and they will call their representatives.
Holy cow.
I mean, wait for this to get turned around.
You want to talk about tone deaf. You're going to go after veterans?
Yeah.
Like, look, you know, in Utah, they went to the
police. From a guy who dodges military service? Right.
All right, listen. Thank you so much, everybody. Thanks for all the listeners. Thanks for all the great comments. Thanks for the one guy on TikTok who said, we generally have pretty positive feedback, positive comments, et cetera. And there's one guy on TikTok, and unfortunately, you know, on TikTok, you don't have to put your real name, because although I'd say it, but he said something stupid and of course, responded, because that's the type of petty people we are.
Yeah.
We will respond.
Yeah. It'll come after you.
Don't forget about the Archer Avenue Parade this coming Saturday, the 15th, starts at noon. It's a real blast and for great cause.
And you can get an autograph from Phil Davidson if you come out.
Phil might be doing a little stand-up.
That's right.
Right?
Okay.
A little pre-parade stand-up, so you want to get there early. Here's a couple of Phil jokes.
I'll do an autograph for the bargain rate of free.
That's a good price, Phil. You'll still get, you know what you'll get?
Probably. That's what my autograph booth is going to sound like.
I can't get enough of that. All right, we'll be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.